Anticipating another round of sequestration in 2016, the Defense Department is trying to make some headway in preparation for a tighter budget. The Pentagon sees a small treasure chest of money in back office operations that could be used for mission and readiness needs. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now with details on how DOD plans to unlock that treasure chest. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so these back office systems, what is DOD looking at? How much money is involved? How important could this be to offset what else might happen under sequestration?
Well, it's not going to offset a lot of what's happening, but what DOD sees is a few hundred billion dollars a year across being spent across six back office business areas, including human resources, procurement, logistics, service contracting, real estate and property management, healthcare, and financial management. Bob Work is the Deputy Secretary of Defense. He has been leading a broad business systems and process review, which was trying to figure out how best to cut costs and become more efficient across all the military services and agencies.
We did a 90-day study. Over a million folks in the department are dedicated to those six business operations, and we spend $134 billion a year to execute them, just on the management side. Now, we brought in a team from outside the government, and they said, look, any businessman is going to look for 20 to 30% productivity improvement if they can do it. And I said, heck, I'll be happy with 10% productivity improvement. So that's what we're doing. We're going into every place, and we're looking for productivity improvement.
Now, Work says a 10% productivity improvement would mean about $13 billion in savings that could be put toward mission and or training needs. Now, Work, along with a host of other senior DOD officials, spoke Tuesday at the Credit Suisse McAleese and Associates 2016 Defense Procurement Conference in Washington. Now, Tom, this is not the first time the DOD has gone and looked for efficiency savings in the back office. If you remember back in 2010, then-Secretary Robert Gates told the services and agencies to find $30 to $40 billion to move what they call from tail to tooth, so to speak. Now, this new effort is going to go above and beyond that initial efficiency review of a few years ago. Now, a part of that business process and review systems is also related to the better buying power effort that's being led by Frank Kendall, DOD's Undersecretary for Acquisition Technology and Logistics. Kendall offers a few more details on the next version, version 3, of better buying power. He says that final strategy and implementation guidance are still a few weeks away from being released publicly, but Better Buying Power 3, as we know, is focused mainly on innovation, technical excellence, and maintaining technical superiority. But Kendall says the guidance will not abandon much of its earlier efforts to make contracting officers smarter and gain efficiencies in how DOD buys.
We're defining best value in monetary terms. What we have done traditionally, and this is a bit of a culture change for us, and we're still working our way through it, is to define best value kind of in terms of performance, but not in terms of cost or in terms of value, in terms of what we're willing to pay for the higher performance and what we're willing to give somebody credit for in a proposal for a cost reduction, if you will, for the higher performance, for an evaluated price reduction. We started to do that a few years ago with the tanker on a small scale, the Air Force's tanker. We've done it more recently on combat rescue helicopter. We're going to continue to do this. And it is a learning experience for us to do this, but if we don't tell you what we're willing to pay for higher performance, you don't know whether to bid it or not. And it's very easy to default to the threshold level of performance and not to shoot for something closer to objective or higher. So I think this is fundamental to motivating industry. It makes our requirements people think about what they're willing to pay for something, which they don't usually do. They think about what they want, they think about what they need, and they explain that they like that, but they don't really deal with enough the trade-offs or the value of enhanced performance. They kind of know what the minimum they'll accept is. The question is, what would you pay for more?
Now, Kendall says Better Buying Power 3.0 also will address several other issues, including improving integration with the intelligence community. We know that DOD and the intel community are trying to work together through EyeSight and the JIE umbrella programs. They also will look at how to better take advantage of commercial innovations. And Kendall says one way to do that is through modular design, as well as reaching out to several small startups in Silicon Valley and other areas around the country. And in fact, this is very interesting. Kendall says he's setting up a meeting for Secretary Ash Carter with many of these innovative companies in the coming weeks.
Wow, that is a big development. Now, by the way, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. You mentioned DOD is in the middle of a review of these functions, but aren't there already recommendations extant now about how the Pentagon can save money?
Absolutely, yeah. The Defense Business Board in January actually issued a series of findings and recommendations highlighting where DOD actually could save about $125 billion over the next 5 years. The board interviewed about 85 current and former federal DOD officials and found a few trends and made a few recommendations. The biggest trend they found is the fact that DOD is spending way too much money individually on these back office functions. So the Defense Business Board says of that $134 billion a year they're spending, DOD allocates about $52 billion a year on logistics management support and more than $37 billion a year on acquisition program and procurement support. The panel actually came up with three approaches, a conservative one, a medium one, and an aggressive one, all three focusing on reducing DOD's costs through cutting contract support, taking advantage of employee retirements and attrition, and by modernizing IT. Each would give a different level of return based on how aggressive they decided to be. The Defense Business Board says the big chunk of those savings, anywhere from $49 billion to $69 billion, would come from contract optimization by doing a few things, being more rigorous in terms of their negotiations with vendors, getting cheaper prices by aggregating spend across the department, reducing what they call contract fragmentation, eliminating unneeded services or contracts that just aren't being used or shouldn't be used, and then also modifying requirements to really ensure DOD gets what they need. They're not paying for, if you will, the gold standard when the silver one would do. The board also says that DOD can save about $125 billion over 5 years if it could, and what would do with that money, it says it could support, as you know, 50 new Army brigades, 10 Navy strike group carrier deployments, or 83 F-35 aircrafts. Remember, this is all part of this readiness and modernization shortcomings that DOD officials have been talking about for the last 3 years. Now, Work says with these types of efficiency savings, while small on the surface, they actually could have a long-term impact.
Even though our in-strength continues to go down, our personnel costs went up by nearly $2 billion this year. It's because of personnel costs continue to outstrip the rate of inflation. And the same thing on our O&M costs. Because we have a largely older force and it's harder to maintain it. So as Secretary Gates said, as early as 2010 and 2011, we need about 1-3% real growth each year to maintain a balance between personnel costs, modernization costs, and other infrastructure costs. And we're out of balance right now. We're out of whack.
So as you can see, even if they could just find $5 billion a year from back office efficiencies, that would actually help offset increasing personnel costs at the very least, which makes things a lot easier. Now, we've posted a link to that Defense Business Board report and findings right there on federalnewsradio.com. You can find it all there this morning.
All right. Now, Jason, DOD has been beating the sequestration drum now for the past couple of years. Are they doing anything to try to convince Congress to repeal that law?
Well, yeah, this feels like they're beating the drum louder and louder. I mean, every single speaker yesterday at the conference seemed to reiterate the awfulness of sequestration. And in many ways, DOD's case seems to have fallen on a few powerful but deaf ears. Congressman Mike Turner, for instance, is the chairman of the Armed Services Subcommittee on Tactical Air and Land Forces. He spoke yesterday and said, you know, hey, members of my committee understand that sequestration is a bad policy, but Turner says, hey, there's others in the lower chambers that are struggling to really understand how, if you will, a $33 billion cut to DOD's $500 billion budget is really that big of a deal. I mean, it's less than 10% if you really do the math. But Work says it's not that simple as a straightforward cut because of all the trickle-down impact across all of DOD.
50% of the money that is in the FY 2016 increase from 15 to 16 is in the modernization accounts. If you stop putting money into modernization, that will have two pernicious effects, which you are all well aware of. It will increase weapon system procurement costs because we'll be forced to stretch out programs or delay. We'll have to cut multi-year contracts, which are very efficient. It will require us to do stupid business things that no business leader in the United States would survive as a CEO or a COO or a CFO if they allowed that crap to happen in their businesses. It will lead to higher costs to maintain aging legacy platforms. That means O&M will go up faster than it is already going up, which will divert even more money away from modernization.
Now, the second issue he's talking about is readiness, and that will continue to take a big hit. In fact, Kendall says readiness began to fall off in about 2013, and now even 2 years later, DOD is still trying to play catch-up. Work says the Marine Corps, the Army, and the Navy will not return to combat readiness until 2019, and the Air Force will wait until 2023 under the current president's budget proposal. So Kendall says it's not just a matter of money. It's the training facilities need to have room to host the units, and there's only so much throughput that these bases can handle. Work says while he's hopeful this message of that sequestration is bad is starting to sink in more broadly across Capitol Hill, he says DOD's frustration continues to rise, especially around the pushback for another round of base realignment and closure, or BRAC.
From a businessman's perspective, we are carrying about 25% excess infrastructure. That is an enormous burden on the department. For us to be told we can't go after that and then be accused of not being efficient, to me, is the height of hypocrisy. So I believe that we need to go after the BRAC.
Work says the same thing goes for what he calls modest compensation increases, the need to retire weapon systems like the A-10 or the U-2 that are they considered end of life. Like BRAC, Congress has prohibited DOD to make any changes in these areas, and that's the efficiency versus, you know, spending issue that he talks about. So as you can see, Tom, the DOD continues to beat this no more sequestration drum louder and louder. They're trying to get industry on their side. You know, Mike Turner yesterday said, call your congressman, call your senator, told this room full of industry to do that, and they're trying to force Congress to move. We'll obviously have to see how this all plays out over the next six months if they're going to be successful or not.
Well, sounds like there's a big national decision that has to be made, and Congress doesn't seem quite organized enough to make it.
I think you're right. I mean, there are several things that are happening. Where does the U.S. need to invest its money? Specifically, where does DOD need to invest its money? And somebody needs to step back maybe and say, what's best for everyone, not just what's best for your district? Unfortunately, Tom, as we all know, as we've seen, those 535 board members don't always think that way.
They sure don't. Well, maybe $1 billion from each of them, and you've got everything the DOD needs. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thank you for that report.
Always a pleasure.